There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, a couple things to talk to you about. First being the quantedge.com, great fantasy sports website, especially for daily fantasy sports. I'm over there writing the batter breakdown for MLB DFS 5 to 7 times a week. They have great, great content from other great writers, plus the tools are amazing. The tools, to me, are the reason to subscribe to the quantedge.com, plus the members Discord. It's awesome. They have lineup optimizers, injury tools, umpire tools, weather tools, Vegas tools. They have so many more tools coming down the line, and they cater to the members' audience. What you talk about in the Discord chat, they try to make for you. So come join us over there at thequantedge.com. Use promo code Bubba for $25 off the MLB DFS season package. If you just want to try it out, you have the NBA playoffs popping off. Guys are cashing like crazy in that Discord chat. And you want to try some baseball for the first month, you get the All Sports monthly package for the first month for $19.99 using promo code Bubba. So either way you look at it, just join us for the whole season of MLB, $25 off, or try All Sports for the first month for $19.99 using promo code Bubba. Also, if you give a rating and review on iTunes, I'd much, much appreciate it. It would help me out. It just takes a couple minutes of your time. The more ratings and review we get, the higher we go up the ladder, and more people that didn't know about us can figure us out and find us and listen to us and spread the word of Bench with Bubba. It would mean a ton to me. Just take you a couple minutes. With all that being said, welcome to Bench with Bubba, episode 162 with Scott Bogman of InThisLeague.com. Everybody, to another episode of Bench with Bubba, episode 162. Going to talk some week 4 waiver wire action, recap some of the, I guess, more injuries in Major League Baseball, and talk some Game of Thrones episode 1 of season 8. In order to do so, good friend of the show, good friend of mine, you find his work over at the In This League podcast, the Black Book podcast, and so much more over there with those boys at ITL. He's on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Scott Bogman, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. This is we're here for the last episode of the year, clearly, 162. So the playoffs start right after my episode.
Yeah, but the serious stuff starts next. So enjoy this while you got it. It gets real. No, I'm just kidding. But you're a busy, busy man. Like, you're even doing basketball, and you got, you know, you wrote something, which I know is really challenging for the industry crowd. But let everybody know what you got going on, man. You're a busy, busy guy.
So yeah, the Welsh and I are on, we're on the Fantrax Network. We're doing the Black Book with Joe Pizzapia. I also have the IDP podcast, which I think I'm recording later today with our guy, Gary Davenport, where we go over individual defensive players. If you play that side of, fantasy football, I do the college fantasy football podcast on Fantrax with John Lobb and Justin Heisey as well. Of course, all the stuff over at In This League, where we do football, baseball, college football. I have a draft podcast. The Welsh does minor league baseball stuff. And then over at FNTSY, we've got a 3-hour radio show that we do every Saturday. And we also do NBA Takeaways, which is a daily NBA show. So lots to cover every single week.
Yeah, busy, busy guys over there. With the draft coming up, you are also doing some other football writing coming your way. Do you want to talk on that, or should I wait for my bald brother to come on and talk about it later?
No, I will be featured in the Black Book this year, the Football Black Book, where post-draft I will be writing up just little blurbs on each player and their situation that they're going to, and then previewing some players for the 2020 draft as well. So that is going to be a great time. I'm not the biggest fan of writing. I did just write up a mock draft, so I put that out a couple days ago if you guys want to check that out too. So I enjoyed the process of doing it, but I also roll my eyes at pretty much every mock draft. They're interesting to see, right? They're interesting to go over and look and see why someone would have X player going to Z and all that stuff. But they are just so wrong after the draft when you look at them, you know, because someone is being quiet about something, you know, and there's going to be some trade up to get some player that nobody saw going. You know, that's what happened with Trubisky a couple years ago. So and then the Saints gave up their entire draft this year to go get Marcus Davenport when everyone thought they were getting Lamar Jackson last year. So there's always something crazy, and that's why I love that whole process.
Yeah, it's like being a weatherman. You can be wrong, and no one gives a shit. It's great. So I absolutely
You said no tornadoes, man, and there were tornadoes everywhere. There were What's the deal?
Tornadoes. Hail, golf ball size hail. It was ridiculous. You mentioned you don't like riding a lot. I get it. I'm trying to as well. It's kind of like the whole you're either a grower or a shower. You're either a podcaster or you're a writer. I think we're better. We're meant for radio. We have faces for radio. So I think
yes.
I think that's what we're meant to be doing. So yeah, and go check out all.
I can't re-say what I just said most of the time. You know what I mean? So like when I'm writing, exactly. I'm like, that sounds idiotic. I got to go erase that whole thing and re-say it so it sounds better. And then it still sounds like shit, you know, when you read it. So I don't know. I'm probably just too critical, but I wind up rewriting all my blurbs like 6 times. So,
hey, it's all good. It's all good. But everybody go check out all of Bogman's stuff all over the internet and the radio waves. It's always great stuff over there. Football, he's got your football, baseball, basketball locked and loaded. And the guys at the ITL, they've always been good to me. Good group over there. So go check all that out. Even Welsh's podcast, you can check that out too if you want. But coach, some recent news we got going on. The Blue Jays. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., I was warned by Rob Silver in the preseason. Do not believe the hype with Lourdes. And it's shown so far. Like, he had a hot spell last year. It did not pan out. He's back down to AAA for all guys not named Vlad Guerrero, Eric Sogard. What's your thoughts on do we just say screw it, Lourdes is a platoon player? What do we have going on with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think unless you're in, you know, a 20-man league or something deep and ridiculous with extreme benches and all that stuff, you can cast him asunder and pick up someone else. I mean, you know, the hype was fun. You probably spent a higher pick than you should have on him, and it just didn't pan out. And these are the risks that we take. And hopefully there's someone left on the wire that is good enough for you to pick up. I would hope that it's probably not going to be Eric Sogard, but you know what? Eric Sogard is going to have at-bats in the big leagues if that's the best guy that is available. So I think you can probably dump Gurriel because, I mean, you know, this team has many, many prospects. And if you know, Bichette starts hitting, maybe he gets called up. They have many options. So I'm not, you know, the prospects of Gurriel coming back up soon, I would think are there if he starts hitting at AAA and Sogard is, you know, being a normal Sogard at the big leagues, then he could come back up within, you know, a month stretch. But I think that it's probably going to take at least a month. So I think dumping him is probably the prudent thing to do in most cases.
Yeah, I'm with you. We've seen the hot streaks with Lourdes Gurriel, but it just feels like it's just one of those, we're going to send him down to get his mind right, because after all, they are rebuilding. So why would you even bring him right. Sogard up for the full? Like, this makes no sense. You want as much youth up there as possible. Then again, it's the Blue Jays and Vlad Guerrero Jr. sitting in AAA. So you pick your poisons there. You mentioned all the prospects they have. You know, we know Vlad's going to be up hopefully sooner than later. But he's pretty much gone in all leagues. But you got like guys like Bo Bichette, who is very, very talented, and there's a good chance we see him at some point this year. How soon do you think is too soon to maybe take an early claim on him so you don't have to pay the king's ransom for him later?
I think you'd have to hear some type of rumblings somewhere. Like when the first groundwork of him possibly getting called up is when I would put in my first bids for him, because this is a guy that is struggling right now. You know, I kind of brought it up to the Welsh, I think, on the Black Book show today. It was either the ITL show or the Black Book show. I do too many. I can't remember. But we were talking about because Rob Silver tweeted. He said, wouldn't it be crazy if they brought up Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette in the same week? And the Welsh kind of poo-pooed that. He said, no, Bichette is not hitting well yet in the minor leagues, and they're going to wait just until he's really got it all going on to go ahead and give him that promotion. So I think he's probably more of a September call-up than he is a pre-All-Star break guy. So I think probably post-All-Star break is the soonest that we're looking for him to come up and be a permanent fixture in the lineup.
And that makes sense. You know, you got Freddie Galvis crushing baseball, so why rush a good thing, right?
Yeah, my TGFBI, Galvis. I let Mason just take him away from me.
Out of all people.
I know. Man. Yeah, I mean, hey, I got y'all's guy, Brandon Crawford.
Yeah, so. B-Craw, good. Him and his greased back hair. Enjoy it. And somehow the women love him. Don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, maybe we should start doing the greasy hair bit. So
I can't grow hair, so how the hell am I going to get greasy hair?
Well, I mean, how about
I'll go get
I shave off half of what I got right now, and you can have it. There you go.
I love it. Let's go Milwaukee Brewers. Josh Hader has been an absolute monster on the mound. We knew he was talented, but he's actually closing games out. But Jeremy Jeffers is supposed to be activated today as of Monday. And there's a good chance he slides back into that closer's role to get Hader to play that fireman guy. But you never know. How are you approaching this situation with Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffers now?
I think picking up Jeffress is a smart move in a lot of leagues. But I don't think that it's just going to hand it to him, because he wasn't particularly good in his rehab assignments. I think he had 4 1/3 innings, 5 1/3 innings, something like that. And he gave up a ton of runs. He had a decent amount of strikeouts too, but I don't think they're going to just, you know, have him come back and then start saving games immediately. I think that it's going to take him a little bit to get up to that point. And we've seen them use Hader for 2 innings at a time, 2 1/3 innings at a time, I believe was one of them as well. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I know Hader will break down if they use him that much, but I think for right now, for maybe the next couple weeks going further anyway, I think Hader is going to still be getting all of the save opportunities. I think in a couple weeks, then if Jeffress looks good in his couple outings that they let him have, I don't think he's going to be brought into high leverage situations right out of the gate. If he looks good there, then he'll start getting save opportunities and more important opportunities. But it's smart to pick him up now, especially if you're one of those guys that waited, or, you know, you drafted a banged up guy like Robertson or something like that.
Yeah, you drafted Craig Kimbrell, who wants too much money for what he's worth. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I got 4 shares of Craig Kimbrell. So,
hey, yeah, trust me, that was not on purpose. I did not realize that. Yeah, because there's a good chance, and it makes more and more sense now that he's going to be out until the MLB draft, so people don't lose a draft pick for him. It's freaking crazy. Stupid MLB system. That simple. Stupid. Let's talk about Seattle Mariners. This might be a quickie, but Wade LeBlanc, not really fantasy relevant, out 4 to 6 weeks. They're bringing up a prospect, Eric Swanson. I just started digging into this guy last night. Not a whole lot I get out of him. Do you have anything on Eric Swanson?
Not really. I saw Eric Swanson, and I was like, why are we talking about Eric Swanson? That was kind of my thought process. But the last time I was on here, we talked about Chris Owings for 10 minutes. I said he was minor league player of the year, and I believe you informed me that when you were 9, you were player of the year in your little league or something. So it was
kind of a big deal.
I kind of feel like that is what Eric Swanson is. I mean, you know, we weren't expecting Seattle to do a whole lot this year. So why not bring up a guy that's kind of been a little bit of a journeyman? I mean, he's not old for a minor league prospect. He's only, what, 25 or almost 26?
He's 25, yeah.
Right. So it's not like he's an old man or anything that's stuck his whole life in quad A or anything, but he's a little bit older for a guy that's getting called up for the first time. Or probably just normal compared to what we've been seeing recently, where 20-year-olds get called up and Ronald Acuna's 11 when he gets called up. So, you know, I just watch his first couple starts, I guess. And if he starts to click, you know, then pick him up. But until that, I'm not going to mess with him. But we have seen plenty of times where, you know, the best coaching is reserved for the major leagues. So sometimes a guy will come up and he'll go to, you know, the major leagues. He'll get his call up. He'll be good enough to get called up. And, you know, a coach at the big league level will have him make some type of a change, which turns him into a, you know, I don't think it's going to turn him into a Cy Young contender, but maybe just a number three starter. So you never know something like that. So if you're in a deep, deep league and you really need, like in my AL only, I'm going to be digging in on Eric Swanson pretty quick here. But other than that, I think that you just let him sit on the wire, watch his first couple starts and see what he does. But, you know, I think most people want Justice Sheffield to come up. So,
yeah, that's why I was surprised by this. I was wondering if he was worth something because I didn't know why they wouldn't bring Justice up. It made no sense to me. I was surprised when I saw this. The only thing I can think of is maybe he's related to Ron Swanson, and that'd be kind of cool. But I'm not sure. Like, I was the only thing I could think of. Other than that, I had nothing on this kid. You know, he's been in the Rangers, Yankees, and Mariners system. I think he came over in that Justice Sheffield trade as well. So I guess we'll see who he has. But, yeah, I'm with you. Not much here. Maybe he gets an extension pretty soon because he's the real deal. Who knows?
Right. I mean, they didn't bring up Justice Sheffield because he's played in 3 games and his ERA is 10. So, or I guess that was last year. My bad. let's see what he's done in the minor leagues this year. Well, his ERA is a much better. It's 5.19 in his 2 starts. So, he's got a loss. Now is, he does have 3 strikeouts and 8 walks. So there you go. So that is probably
going for him.
His swinging strike rate is 2.6%, Bubba. So, I mean, I think, you know, just putting 2 and 2 together, Eric Swanson has got to be better than that. So, yep. You know, Sheffield will get better going on, and we'll probably see him up at some point this year. But if he's going to have a 2.6 swinging strike rate, that ain't going to work. So,
not going to work at all. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves, as they are quite the conundrum. They gave Acuna an extension. Ozzie Albies takes the deal of a lifetime for the Braves. And now Aroides Vizcaíno, coming into the draft season, it was Vizcaíno, it was Minter. Who was it going to be? Well, Vizcaíno's kind of been a mess, and now he's on the 10-day DL, or IL, my bad.
Oh, how dare you?
Yeah, you know,
how dare you? All those disabled people are pissed that you called it the DL. Because yeah, it's clearly them that were angry, and not just people who are hanging out. You know,
if you have any complaints, you email inthisleague@gmail.com. That'd be great.
yeah, thanks.
he's going to the DL, shoulder inflammation. AJ Minter looks like he'll get the gig. What are you doing with the Braves closing situation?
Hoping they sign Craig Kimbrell. You know, I do like Minter. Yeah, exactly. I do like AJ Minter. So I think that's where they're going to go to start with this job, and then, you know, they have so many guys that could be competent starters that if they're not going to sign Kimbrel, Vizcaíno isn't getting healthy, and Minter sucks, I don't know why they wouldn't just take one of these guys and stick them on the back end. You know, they want Tukey to pitch out of the bullpen right now. Why not make him the closer? You know, do what you're doing with Hader. Give him the last couple innings if it's in a high leverage situation. See if he can hold on to a lead there, do something. So, and we've seen plenty of teams do this with starters where, look, we just don't need you as a starter right now, so we're going to go ahead and make you a, you know, a closer. And I think that's fine. And I don't know why they wouldn't do that with him. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes too much sense almost, and it makes you wonder why they won't do it. you mentioned Tuki Toussaint came up through really, really well in the times we've seen him in the bigs. Sean Newcomb gets sent down to Triple X. He's been absolute dog garbage so far. Soroka might be coming back soon. Fulte's coming back soon. Yeah, Max Fried pitching well. It's jumbled mess. Yep. You said Tukey's probably going to the bullpen, but how do you assess, like, Max Fried was a big deal last week? You know, we got our boy Matt Modica talking up Soroka. There's a lot of ways to look at this. How are you looking at this Braves starting pitching situation from a fantasy perspective?
Well, I will follow the pitching guy in Modica and the minor league guy in the Welsh and say that I think Soroka is the guy that's going to come up and get the job, because, you know, it looked like, okay, well, you know, stupid Newcomb can only last an inning and a third or whatever it was the other night. And then Tukey came in through six. Why don't we just put Tukey there? But they want him to pitch out of the bullpen. So I'm guessing that it's going to be Soroka coming back. And then we have Fulte coming back after, I believe, his last rehab start is going to be tonight as we're recording this. And then he should be back. I guess he's scheduled to start Saturday the 20th. So it looks like it's going to be Tehran, Fried, Gossman, you know, Fulte, and Wildcard, which most people expect to be Soroka. So that's what I'd probably go with Tukey going back to the bullpen.
How aggressive we saw, we'll get into some waiver wire stuff in a bit, but how aggressive would you be on Soroka in the waiver wires?
Yeah, that's tough to say. I think that if you're desperate for pitching, then I'd be fairly aggressive, because I think, you know, Soroka is one of those guys that has a chance to be the best out of everybody here. And so, I mean, I wouldn't be like 50% of my fab aggressive or anything. I'd probably do like, you know, if we think it's going to be like $7 or something, just throw 10 on him. You know, something around that nature, you know, or maybe if you know someone else probably going to throw 10, maybe throw 11. See, I'm bad at fab. This is what I do to myself. Yeah, all
I'm
the
with
time.
You. It's tough. It's tough.
I'm like, let's see. I know someone's going to put at least 10, so I'll put 11.
I'll put,
and then I win him at 11, but the next highest bid was 2, you know.
Yeah, someone's going to put 10. I'll put $47.
I definitely did that this week. We'll talk about that in a second, but it gets confusing. You know, I'm not sure what to do. I definitely, the first couple weeks, I bid way too low on everyone, and then this week I went way too high, so whatever.
Yep, it's a wonderful world of fab, and that's one thing I like. The reason I like recapping the TGFBI, like we'll do later, is you see the different prices that guys go for in each league, and sometimes it makes you want to puke, and sometimes it makes you laugh because you got the other end of the spectrum, and it's happened to me many times. So it's always interesting to see how it differentiates so much. Talking about the end of the spectrum that makes you want to puke, Carlos Gonzalez is up in the major leagues again. The Indians, they brought him up over the weekend. He went 1-for-5 with the run scored. They're probably going to play him because they don't have many other options, or they don't have any options they want to use. Is he viable in a fantasy sense?
I mean, it would have to be a fairly deep league, because I think he's going to get somewhat platooned, you know. I guess, did he hit 3 in his first game?
Yep, they have nothing right now. Jeez. And sure, Lindor's rehabbing. He'll be back soon. Jose Ramirez can't hit the broadside of a barn right now. Kipnis comes back shortly. So I guess there's signs of life pointing to Cleveland, but it's not pretty.
Right. Kipnis should be back tonight as we're recording this, hopefully. I know he's traveling, so we'll see if he gets back in there tonight. I still think they're probably going to platoon him and Hanley, right? Or him and Greg Allen, somebody.
I would imagine Greg Allen would be my guess.
But I think that he's going to get the majority of the ABs because he's a lefty and most hitters are righties. So, or most pitchers, excuse me, are righties. So I think that, I guess you can pick him up. I have a lot of 16 man leagues, and I was not diving after the waiver wire for cargo. You know, Bradley Zimmer's going to get back at some point and be in that lineup. So, I don't know at, you know, he would have to hit fairly well to stick in the lineup at that point. So, if he gets hot, pick him up and ride the wave. And you know, if you pick him up and he's not hot, dump him, cast him asunder. So
yeah,
put him in that pile with Lourdes Gurriel.
Yeah, I don't hate him if you're desperate, but don't go crazy. Some people are crazy. Rougned Odor, the boxer himself, goes on the 10-day IL with a right knee sprain. They call up Danny Santana, who's kind of been a journeyman middle infielder throughout baseball, but yet he's only 28 years old. Rougie's off to a rough start, and maybe we're going to say the knee's the reason why he's not hitting with any power. But is there any level of concern here with Rougned Odor? Because many thought this was the year he really put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be, you know, because this didn't seem like a big deal, or maybe he wasn't letting on that it was, or it's not a big deal and he's hitting like crap. And they're like, look, where are you going to go on the IL? You know, you're going to go on the IL and you're going to straighten your head out. You're going to do a little rehab starts, and then you're going to come back to us when you can actually hit. So I can't tell what's what, you know, if this is a mental break for him for the IL that we're going to call this knee sprain worse than we thought it was, or if this is a mental IL stint where it's like, you can't hit anything. We're going to give you some days off. You're going to reset. You're going to refocus. You're going to go rehab and get back out there. So I just don't know which one it is. So I think there has to be concern though, either way, because either the knee injury is worse than we thought, or he's in his own head, which, you know, that stuff can be worse than a physical injuries at points. So I think that he'll take his 10 days. He'll do, you know, 3 to 4 games of a rehab assignment, and then he'll be back up within the lineup fairly quickly. So I'm not too worried, but there's definitely an underlying thing there that concerns me.
Yeah, and you talked about if it's mental, we're in trouble. Because, yes, Rougned Odor does not seem like the guy with the best mental capacity on the baseball
this
field.
This swing. Right. Yeah. Just swing when you run into Jose Bautista, when you see a baseball, just swing. You know, I think that's kind of what it is. And if something in his brain is saying don't swing, then that's not the Rougie we know and love.
No, we need to get him some smelling salts and some greenies, and maybe we'll get back to baseball. But that's a whole other era. Last injury, I just noticed it right before we recorded, so I threw it on there. But David Robertson of the Phillies, similar to Rougned Odor, but in a different sense at the same time, has been struggling tremendously. Now he goes on the 10-day IL with a soreness in his right elbow. Could be a phantom DL stint to get his head right. It could be real. They said he's feeling discomfort. That whole situation there with that bullpen has been very, very interesting. Not to mention Gabe Kapler can be a pain in the ass at times. How what are you doing with like the Phillies bullpen? Because literally, I think Sir Anthony's the best pitcher, but he's not even getting all the save chances.
So, fun fact about the Phillies bullpen for me, 0 shares.
Well
I was avoiding this to begin with. So, I don't really have to do anything with it because I don't have anything here. But I think Neris, because of his experience, is probably the guy to own at this point while David Robertson is on the DL. I'm with you. I think Dominguez is probably the best, but Neris and Neshek and doesn't somebody else have a save there?
Ramos or somebody, I think, and they sent Ramos down. Like, it's right. Pretty good stuff.
Right, exactly. So it's probably between Neshek and Neris. So I think I would lean with Neris to get the majority of the save opportunities. But also, why don't you sign Craig Kimbrell? Why don't you do that, Philly?
Novel concept.
You already spent all this money. Might as well spend a little bit more and make that bullpen locked down. So I think that that's a possibility, too. And it's got to be one of those things where every time a bullpen blows a save, that Craig Kimbrell's smile just gets a little bit bigger, right? So someone's going to pay me. Look at these losers. So
idiots.
We'll see. Idiots.
It's like Pinky in the Brain. Idiots. A couple more questions for you. Christian Walker of your D-backs. Everybody ran to pick him up when he was facing a bunch of lefties who kind of went mediocre. He's been crushing right. He's been crushing the baseball, period. But some people have already dropped him this week. What's your, like, I just as a guy that watches the D-backs, whether you like to or not, what's your thoughts on Christian Walker the rest of the year? Because at first it was kind of a platoon thing, but then Jake Lamb gets hurt. What should we expect from Walker?
Well, it's funny because before Jake Lamb's 77th injury or whatever this is at this point, he said, you know, they basically said, no, we're not going to play Lamb at third. He's going to be our first baseman. Walker will get some starts, but it's not a platoon. And then you saw, all right, but Walker is starting every time against lefties. How is this not a platoon? And then Lamb just went up to Lavolo and said, look, I can play third. You guys need me to play third and want me to play third, I can do it. So he started warming up at third again. So I think Walker is going to get the majority of the at-bats at first base this season for the Diamondbacks. And, you know, there's no way that Walker is worse at hitting righties than Lamb is at hitting lefties. So we can get both these guys in there. I think he'll get the occasional day off. And, you know, and by the way, Walker right now is hitting 105 off lefties.
Yep.
So he's hitting 357 off the righties right now. So it's not, you know, nothing is etched in stone here, but he should be better against the lefties than Lamb is. So when Lamb comes back, he'll at least get those at bats. But I think he's going to stick up first for the majority of the season. So Lamb has kind of proven that he's not as good as we thought he was going to be. You know, probably another guy that the Diamondbacks should have traded instead of trading X, Y, or Z. But, you know, such is life as a Diamondbacks fan.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go too much further. I had a lot of Diamondbacks questions for you. I had some Paul Goldschmidt questions. But as a friend, I wasn't going to go there.
I figured you were just going to ask me what my favorite Carl's Jr. meal is.
Oh, that's so. Next. I'm actually going there.
Oh, okay.
Because as a guy that likes his food as well, I've been wanting to ask questions because they just use it as like a joke to talk to you about it. I'm actually curious on the situation. I want to have some fun with it. First off, I might have missed it. For those that don't know, every time the Diamondbacks lose, Mr. Bogman here goes and gets Carl's Jr. and he broadcasts it to the world. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that I can respect. What made you pick Carl's Jr.?
Okay, well, Whataburger is actually my favorite.
Yes.
You know, burger place.
Which I've never had. I'm very...
What?
They don't have them out here.
But I thought you said you've been out here for spring training, right?
Yeah, I usually sit downtown by the pool and I walk to Scottsdale Stadium and I go to the bars downtown. There's no Whataburger in Old Town Scottsdale.
Yeah, but there's one like right by my place, so which is not far from Old Town at all. So Okay. You got to hit me up the next time. We'll go. I'll show you where the sex trafficker was shot and everything. It's a famous Whataburger.
How,
so,
how close were you to the sex trafficker when she was shot?
Well, I wasn't. So I actually went there later that night, of course, because it was a day that ends with Y, and I was going through the line and there's this big police do not cross. They have like part of the parking lot just completely blocked off. And so
did you ask him, why are they judging you and not letting you eat?
Right. Well, I was like, what the hell? But they had the drive through open. So that's okay, all good. I care about.
Good.
So I went through the drive through and I asked the girl there and she was like, I don't know what happened. I wasn't here. So she's like, no one will tell me what happened. I don't know. I think, you know, she was like younger. I think they just didn't want to tell her that somebody got shot in the parking lot. So to freak her out. So, but I guess it was some dude that was, you know, some sex trafficker that the FBI had been chasing forever. And they finally cornered him in during his lunch break, I guess, from sex trafficking. I don't know what your job is, what you physically do, but and he pulled out a gun. And so, you know, the FBI agents, put him down. So, but anyway, we're going to have to go. But that's my favorite place to eat fast food. So okay. I didn't want to get sick of it. So I wasn't going to pick every single day so that I hate it after, like, because I might hate burgers at the end of the season, which would be rare for me. But, I mean, if I did hate burgers at the end of the season, probably be good for the overall health for the rest of my life. But, Carl's Jr. is good enough. It's also annoying enough because it is a much farther drive than a lot of other places because there's not too many Carl's Jr.'s out here. I mean, they're here, but they're not like, you know, they're not like McDonald's. They're not littered on every corner or anything. So it is a little bit of a drive, and it did piss me off yesterday because they're ripping up my main drag on the way to Carl's Jr. So, Nice. Yeah, so I had to, like, go the back way, and it took longer. But
so you have to vent even longer on the D-backs loss while you're doing this.
Yeah, like, you know, well, I mean, in my drive there, I'm just thinking, like, God damn it. You know, why did they have to, like, the bullpen, what their bit this season, this is what I said in my last video, is they get down early, And then they come back to tie it, and then the bullpen blows it. Like, that has been the 2019 Diamondbacks so far. So, and that's exactly what the last loss was. Now, yesterday, they were down, they came back, and they actually won. So hopefully that is the beginning of a trend, but they're starting a road trip here, so most likely not. But anyway, I picked Carlos Jr. because it's good enough to where I knew I wouldn't hate it within the first month and a half. Like, I probably hate the drive more, but it's also, if I ruin it for myself, you know, it doesn't take an option. Yeah, it doesn't take an option off. So, and I do like Carl Jr., so it's pretty decent. So,
do you have to drive there, or can you Uber Eats it? Does that still count?
I think Uber Eats would count for sure, but goddamn, dude, I gotta tell you, the prices for Postmates and Uber Eats and all that stuff, like, it turned out to be affordable. The only one that's affordable is DoorDash, and you saw what happened to me on DoorDash this winter. You know, I got a note in my bag that said, I have herpes, follow my YouTube channel. So I don't even know what to do with that. So I don't want to be ordering a goddamn DoorDash. So I'm afraid I'm going to get herpes lady again. But
do we think there's a chance that like the ITL in this league show can get sponsored by Carl's Jr., Postmates, or something by the end of the season by doing this?
I don't think so. I mean, for a couple reasons. Number one, I just don't think that we have a big enough of a cachet. You know, I mean, I have just over 4,000 followers on Twitter. That's a respectable number and all that stuff. But it's like, you know, you probably got to be in the 50,000s. Plus, I think the Carl's Jr. would probably see it as insulting since I say, you know, I'm taking out my anger on my body every single week at Carl's Jr., which is true. But the whole point is, you know, for fat guys, you got to have something good in your life, you know? Yep. So if the food can be good, that's what you want. So, the D-backs just, I won't be surprised that if I'm blocked by the D-backs by the end of the year. So, we'll see how that goes, but I'll be able to hashtag rattle on every time. So that's all that matters.
I got two more questions on this. This is the fun part about Bench with Bubba. I can talk about whatever the hell I want.
That's right.
So Carl's Jr., like you said, I kind of like the idea there because you have options. There's not just burgers. Like, there's a ton of different things. Like, is this a Carl's Jr. with the green burrito or whatever they call those? Like,
it's not.
Because like that, they could be even crazier.
It's not, dude. I was kind of pissed. I went there the other day, and I had burgers like, you know, the D-backs lost a lot last week. So I try to make some variety. My favorite thing is the Western Bacon Cheeseburger. There.
Not the double.
Well, I usually get the double because
you got the double when Goldie got traded.
Right. Yeah. That was my first
eating.
Meal.
That was stress eating.
And my first meal there for the loss was also the double Western. So I think I've eaten there. I think the D-backs have lost 9 times. I got that 3 times. So, because I saw on the menu the green burrito, but I went there the other day and I said, hey, do you guys have burritos, or is that just a breakfast thing? Because they have a breakfast menu, but you know, I stay up late and record, you know, things late and put stats together late. So I'm usually waking up, you know, fairly late in the day. And so it's rare that I wake up before the breakfast is done. Or at some time, like, I actually usually wake up before breakfast is done, but not enough time to like take a shower, get ready, and then drive down there.
So you like to look good for your drive through?
Well, I like to, you know, like I said, with my hair, I do look like transitioning Orphan Annie right now with the length of my hair. So I need to at least wet it down to get it to do something. I mean, in my first Carl's Jr. video, I had someone say, "You look like a slob." I was like, "Well, thanks, Mom." You know. But I mean, that's kind of the point, though. Like, you look like a sad dude eating Carl's Jr., which is exactly what I am.
You're supposed to be Frank Gallagher's beer drinker from Shameless.
Right, exactly. So I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing this for all D-backs fans, of course.
I'm doing this for everybody.
But my go-to is normally the Western Bacon Chief. Was that even the question that you asked? I can't even remember.
What do you prefer there? Yes.
That's what I prefer. But I've tried the chicken tenders. Were actually pretty solid. I was surprised. I was fairly impressed by them. The sauces need some work. The ranch was no good. It's like drive-through fast food ranch. We need to work on that. I'm going to try the honey mustard next time I go there. But the guacamole burger is fairly strong there, too. That's probably my second favorite thing. And I'm going to wind up trying everything. I'm not a big mushrooms exactly. person, but I'll probably try the truffle thing at some point. And, you know, the I did the fruit. They have Fruit Loop donuts. That's what I did yesterday. Oh, that is strong, son. You got to get in there. You got Hardee's and Carl's Jr.
Oh, yeah. No,
Cali,
I had Carl's Jr. like last Thursday. We got that around here.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Fruit Loop donuts. Strong. Very, very good. I mean, I gave it 4.8 out of 5. So you need to get in there and try some of those if you're a Fruit Loops fan. So I'm not a big cereal guy, but it's because I hate all the milk with cereal. So
I'm just a fat kid. Very, very good option. So I can try it.
Yeah, exactly. So they do have some type of a salad. So I'm sure, you know, on a 14-game losing streak, those last 5 might be salads. So we'll get in there and try that eventually, but I haven't gotten to that point quite yet. So
is there a minimum order requirement on this?
Not really. I just have to
a certain thing.
No, I just have to stop at Carl's Jr. to take my anger out. You know, there might come a 20-game loss streak where I'm running through for a Coke, you know. So but if I'm going to go all the way down there, I'm almost always going to eat. So like yesterday I had the Fruit Loop donuts and they were very good, but I was hungry like an hour later. So, you know,
gotcha.
Such is life.
Very last question on this, even though I respect this whole thing you have going, so I can talk about it for a long. I love it. I absolutely love it. The Diamondbacks are 7-9. So you made 9 trips to Carl's Jr. already, non-voluntary trips to Carl's Jr.
Right.
What's like the over under? Are we thinking 81 overall? Like that's 50-50 season. That's 500. Or do you think they're having a losing season? Like you're going until like maybe you're going 81 more times this year or more.
I think I'm going 85-90 probably. So, they're not good right now, which is unusual for the Diamondbacks for whatever reason. I think maybe it's just living in the warm weather or whatever. The D-backs usually start out fairly hot and they haven't. So they cool down at the end of the season, which maybe this will just be a reverse year where they'll start winning games at the end of the year or something. But they don't look particularly fantastic. Specifically, like I said, the bullpen is not great. I know people like Archie Bradley. I just don't know why. You know, I was at the game where he hit the triple and everyone lost their damn mind. And there are two things with that. Number one, I was pissed he was even hitting. I was like, what the hell are we doing and having Archie hit here? So they were just blowing fastballs right down the middle. So if you can hit it all, you're going to get a hit there. And he did. But he also gave up the 2 runs he drove in the next inning. So it's not like Archie has ever been some, you know, super amazing closer. And people in Arizona want to make him out like he's goddamn Mariano Rivera. And he sucks. You know, he's a nice guy. Couldn't be a nicer guy. He is an Oklahoma fan, which I don't appreciate at all. But that neither here nor there. That's my own personal bias. But he throws 91 down the pipe. Like, he's just not that good. And he's one of the best ones in the bullpen. Greg Holland got released by the Royals last year, and he's our closer. So,
and he's pitching well.
He is now. He was awful in spring. His ERA was like 12. So it was worse than Justice Sheffield last year. So it's not very good. So the bullpen is a little bit ugly, and the starting staff, if they can find anybody to take Greinke, they'll deal him in a heartbeat. Robbie Ray has been kicked around in rumors. So if they continue to keep losing like this, I do think that they'll start to sell off some pieces as well. So, the team overall will take a dive, and I will just be, on cholesterol medication probably at that point. So, we'll see.
Or they build the peel away thing like Major League, but instead of this girl in lingerie, it's Bogman, and they want him, to have a Carl's Jr. T-shirt or something like
that. That's right. Each section is a meal. so that I have to eat. Exactly. So,
oh, Jesus. Oh, it's good stuff. I can't wait to see how this keeps going. I love it. I absolutely love the dedication to it. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. That's the genius of ITL. You boys find ways to just make this so damn fun. And I love how, especially Welsh, always talks about how no one like knows who you guys are or respects you. Trust me, there's a lot of people that do because it's damn funny.
And then, oh yeah, that's heel Welsh talking. Oh,
I know
point,
that's feel sorry for me, Welsh. I know. All right, let's talk some Fab waiver wire stuff. TGFBI, the week 4 edition. It's not nearly as hectic as it was last week, but we have a few things to talk about. First, I'll just ask right now: were you $15 or $18 on Brandon Crawford?
I was I think I was 15. So, okay. I think the next highest was 3. So, but I had to get a goddamn shortstop.
Yeah, no choice. Yeah, no choice.
Yeah, Trey Turner. So, had to do it.
I get it. All right. CC Sabathia, he's back. He went in 5 leagues, remember, from $4 to $82. What's your thoughts? I know it's a 15 team league, so there are some needs for deep pitching. Do you have any desire to have a CC Sabathia on your roster this year?
Not really. Even in a deeper league, you know, anything crops back up with the heart. And we saw this play out for Kenley Jansen last year, you know, and he's just going to be sent back away. And I don't want to deal with all that stuff this year. So he's on the back end of his career anyway. So there's no way. I mean, I would have to be very desperate to be spending $82 on CC. So,
yeah, I'm with you there. Clay Buchholz, Cletus is back. You saw him last year, pitched really surprisingly well. He went from anywhere from $1 to $48 in 5 leagues, pitched well in his debut for the Jays, 6 innings, 1 earned, 2 strikeouts. I was nervous with him going to Toronto, but he pitched well. Do you have any interest in Clay Buchholz?
You know what? He pitched pretty well for the Diamondbacks down the stretch. I think I'd rather have him than CeCe. So, I guess you could say I have a little interest in Buchholz, which, but by the way, just real quick, I can't take my eyes off of Chris Owings being bid on here since that's the guy
for
we talked about last
$13.
Time. Yep.
$13. Like, what's he even really doing? Like, Nick Ahmed, I got last week. I understood that one. What's Chris Owings doing to,
maybe that bid was put in after, you know, Billy Hamilton crashing in the wall, you know. That's what I'm thinking.
That's good. Only thing I could think of because holy shnikes. that's something special there. But same special angle. You got Daniel Descalso went from anywhere from $1 to $27. He's been leading off at times for the Cubbies. But it's kind of scary there. Would you rather Chris Owings or Daniel Descalso?
Oh. I would probably rather have Daniel Descalso because, he won't get consistent at bats, but you know how Madden is, like he'll get in there. So I would probably rather have him.
All right. Here's a fun name release. Dan Vogelbach, been crushing baseballs. I know you guys talked about him recently on one of your shows.
Dan Vogelbach looks like if you mashed me and Bubba together.
Yeah, I could see that actually. He's kind of is my spirit animal. That's why like, when Nate Dawkins talks about how much he loves him, like, you're way too small to appreciate this man. Like, this is like the stuff as a kid, as a fat kid growing up, you wanted to be this man, and he's doing it.
It's him and Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. Oh, God. And he's trying to get skinny, so he's losing my respect.
That's right.
He went for as high as $302, 30% of someone's fab budget. You know, there's rumors when everyone gets back and healthy that it's going to be tough to find playing time. Do you think he's going to get enough playing time to warrant so much attention on the fab wire?
Well, he's got to keep hitting. So if you believe in him and you think that he is going to keep hitting and hitting and hitting, then you kind of have to be in. You kind of have to spend this type of money to get him. But I don't know if that's something that I'm really buying into. I mean, you know, Seager's going to come back at some point and, you know, play third. So Ryan Healy will move over to first, and I mean, what is Vogelbach even doing right now?
Yeah, he's been quiet since that. He had like 4 or 5 really, really good days. It's quieted down a bit.
Right. So you have this mix here of Jay Bruce, E5, Ryan Healy, Seager when he comes back, and Vogelbach. That's 5 guys for 3 spots. I don't know if I'd be burning 30% of my fab on him right now. And that could just be people that are sitting in dead last and got to have something. So, you know, pick up the dude while he's on a nice hot streak here. You know, by no means is Ryan Healy, you know, guaranteed anything. And we've seen Jay Bruce play in the outfield before. So, I mean, I don't know where he'd play now because Malik, Haniger, and Santana are all playing pretty well. And, but you never know what's going to happen in the future. Somebody could get hurt. But yeah, that's why I didn't go and burn a whole bunch of money on Vogelbach. So.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. David Fletcher's been leading off for the Angels of late. He's been pretty productive in the last few days. Went from $2 to $39. He has multi-position eligibility. Is this just a deep league type guy, or do you think he can be more than that?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, I like buying in on leadoff hitters. So if the dude's hitting leadoff and he's doing well recently, then, you know, I like him as a pickup. So he's hitting .349 right now. He's got two swipes, you know, 43 plate appearances. I just want to look real quick to see how many times he's actually let off. But, you know, if the dude is leading off, there's, you know, there's only 30 leadoff hitters in the league. So let's see. He has hit first. Well, he's been all over the lineup. Jesus. He's hit six times. He's hit eighth, seventh, sixth, fourth, and first twice. So he's hitting .444 out of that one hole. And that's where one of his stolen bases is from. And the other one was from hitting ninth. So he's a decent ad. I think I'd rather spend like my, you know, whatever, $5 to $25 on Fletcher than spend $300 on Vogelbach.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you there. That's why I think he's an interesting name for people to keep an eye on, because he's actually produced in the leadoff role. It's kind of a big deal there. Freddie Galvis is going everywhere by now. People kind of know he's hitting well, but be prepared for the potential drop-off, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming. Hector Neris, we already hit on the Philadelphia situation. Thoughts and prayers to all of you.
T's and P's.
T's and P's for all. But Hunter Dozier and J.D. Davis, these are two guys that I was looking at their StatCast numbers last week, and they both went from anywhere from $1 to $37. And they have a lot of similarities to me, and they're both kind of slowly getting it going. Is there any interest in guys like Hunter Dozier or J.D. Davis?
I mean, I think there has to be, especially for a guy like Dozier, where the opportunity is there. I think with J.D. Davis is a little more dicey because you got Frazier coming back up at some point here fairly quickly. And I mean, but because of the success of J.D. Davis and Pete Alonso, you know, they're trying out Frazier at everything. He's going to kind of be a utility player, it looks like. But I think that if you're picking a spot for him to overtake, it's probably third base most of the time. He can give a Rosario a breather if Pete Alonso.
If Pete, don't piss him off.
Excuse me. I mean, that's worse than ILDL right there. So if he falls into somewhat of a funk, Frazier can play first. But I think most at-bats he's going to take from are probably going to be J.D. Davis. So it's unfortunate. But I also don't think they're going to run him out to start him there, and that's why they've been practicing him. Like, what goddamn major leaguer who's played 100 years, like Todd Frazier has, needs 9 days of rehab? Now, you don't need that many. They're just trying to get him back to the spot where he could possibly play shortstop, which I think might be comical to watch him out there. But, you know, he's always been a decent fielder. But I think I would, if I'm picking one, I think Dozier is probably the guy between both of them.
Yeah, I like that call. They're both interesting, but Dozier much more stable at the moment. So I like where your head's at there. Jordan Lyles pitching for the Pirates. He's looked pretty good. Everyone's, you know, Lance Brozdowski talked about his curveball usage and his change in his curveball. He went from $9 to $53. Any takeaways on Jordan Lyles and this early start from a fantasy perspective?
I mean, we've seen some decent starts or stretches, at least, from Lyles. So I'm really hesitant to, you know, buy into two starts. I like what I've seen so far, but, you know, it's his highest swinging strike rate of his career. Obviously, be pretty much best everything. Even his FIP at his ex-FIP at 4.07 would be his best ever. But his ERA, you know, last year it was his career best at 4.11. So I think that's probably what he is a five starter, for a real team and probably should be left on the waiver wire for most teams. But if you're in a deeper league and you need a pitcher, you know, take him and ride the wave while he's hot. So,
no doubt about it. Josh Fegley went to a lot of teams. He's a catcher. We don't have to go too deep into that, but he's swinging a good stick right now. A couple others I want to mention before we talk a little Game of Thrones here. Nick Margavicius. I think I got that's better than I thought.
Margavicius.
Oh, is that really what it is?
I think so. He's played the D-backs twice.
Margavicius. So. Okay. And he did well too. $4 to $165. Is this just a matter of he faced the D-backs and the Giants, or is there something more to this kid?
I mean, it's probably 50-50, right? But I'm not high on Margavicius because the Padres have been linked to Dallas Keuchel, and I think he's the guy that immediately goes should they wind up signing Keuchel. So, I mean, this is another guy a lot like Jordan Lyles where you pick him up, and if he can do it against a team again, then great. And if he blows up your ERA, especially if you're in head-to-head for the week, that sucks, and you dump him and you know, use that as a streaming spot. So if you've got a streaming spot, and I don't even know who they're playing this week, the Padres, but if you got a streaming spot and they got a decent matchup, then, you know, why not?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that's where we'll call it. There's a bunch of kind of middle tiers guys.
Who did you buy?
I only did one this week. I did Josh Fegley. Got him at $31 right in the middle.
Nice.
I feel better about myself. the runner up was only $12 in my league. So, yes, I still overpaid. But looking at someone that paid $157 for a catcher makes me want to be in their league next year. It's pretty awesome.
Well, to be honest, I think I'd rather spend a fab budget than a high draft pick. So,
Very true.
You know, $157 is not great to be paying for Fegley, but it's better than spending a fifth round pick on one of those guys. I did Crawford was one of mine, and my other one was somebody dumped Avisel Garcia last week.
Yeah. I saw someone added him. That's a good pickup.
I spent $55 on him, and I think the next highest was like 17 or something. But
it's okay. Someone else spent 81 on him, so you're good.
That's true. It does make me feel better. So
silver lining, Scott. Silver lining.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Now we need to have the fun part of the podcast. Game of Thrones. Anybody that hasn't watched episode one yet, well, A, get your shit together. It's been 24 hours. And B, you might want to listen to the rest of this later. But it's not going to go super deep. We're just going to talk kind of some fun stuff about it. But what were your overall thoughts of the first episode? Because it was, like we kind of talked before the show, there was nothing crazy, but it set up a ton of things.
I like the reuniting scenes. Those were obviously
it feels so good.
Right. Emotionally charged, to say the least. So those were good to see. But I like in the first 15 seconds, Bran says something along the lines of, we don't have time for this. All this bad shit is happening. And then all they do is screw around the entire episode. Like nothing real happens. So, you know, and so that was kind of my overarching thought was like, you know, you said there's no time and then you made time for everything. So, I don't know. It's not good. It's not boding good for Team Living right now.
Yeah, so Team Living's Team Living's looking very rough. We had John get to ride his dragon finally. I'm going to say his because I think we already know where this is going.
Well, time he's ridden the dragon, heyo,
and it looked like he might have rode it again until that other dragons were staring at him up there by the
I saw someone made a comment like, "I'm not calling him dad." So
that's awesome. And I saw some meme that says like. Like you try to get it up with that staring at you. So that was good. You know, John reunited with Arya. I was actually looking forward to that one. That was pretty fun. There's a bunch of Gendry and Arya. I wonder if they're going to bro down. That could be a good one. But other than that, you're right. It was more just kind of like everyone getting to kind of reacquaint themselves. The North getting pissed off that the Targaryens were in town. And,
Sansa was an asshole to everyone. So
she's going to be the Cersei of the North. Not in a way where she's going to like ruin everyone's life, but she's going to be the bitch. Like
right.
She's going to remind people of what's supposed to be right and wrong type thing. Yeah, I respect it to an extent. I respect it, but yeah, she was rough.
Well, she's been burned so many times. You can hardly blame her. So
I was, yeah, from one of the worst episodes ever was when she got married to Ramsey. That was rough to watch. But the best episode, as the replays have been happening, when Ramsey got his face eaten alive or got killed, and she had this little smirk on her face. I'm like, God, that's a bad woman right there. Like, that is a cold, like you said, she's had so much happen to her.
I mean, you know, if there's someone that deserves some peace, it's Sansa for sure.
What's your thoughts at the very end of the episode, like Tormund and the guys? They're in, they see,
I've always had blue eyes.
That was one of, like, my wife and I literally rewound it because we were laughing so hard to make sure that's what he really said. He's got blue eyes. I've always had blue eyes. It's like, holy shit. But when they lit the master, the Lord on fire and had all the arms and legs and stuff, is that symbol supposed to represent anything? Do you know? You've read the books.
Well, the symbol I don't think represents much. It's just what they do. Okay. I mean, we've seen that in a bunch of other episodes. Like, you saw, it's really a Children of the Forest symbol, because before they make the Night King, you can see it in the rocks that they've made that. So it's really just an old symbol. It's kind of just like a, you know, it's like a Zorro Z, but for the Night King, you know.
Okay.
That's what that is. But it's funny, if you go back and watch episode one of the series and then watch this episode, the parallels are just insane. Okay. Someone made this big Reddit post. I saw a couple of them before I read the Reddit post. But just the parallels are nuts. Just, you know, even the, you know, the queen going down the king's road is kind of like Robert Baratheon coming in, just all the stuff, from even the way that, you know, Jaime shows up when he's in all the gold and he flips his helmet off and you see all the blonde hair, to where he's hiding himself in this episode, flips the hood off and his hair is pretty much brown at this point. So there's just so many parallels. You know, there's meetings in the crypt, just like there was in the first one. You know, John gives Arya the sword. There's just so much. It's almost, you know, I'm sure they did it on purpose, but you kind of have to dig to see a little bit of it, but there are a ton of parallels.
That's a really good point, because I didn't think about it. And then the second you said episode one, and it all dawned on me, that's when Tyrion and all the Lannisters come and visit with Ned.
Right.
Yeah, it totally makes sense now when you mention it.
I mean, even Tyrion, you know, his first scene was with, you know, the in the brothel, and then you see Bronn in the brothel with three women. Yeah, so that Pox line was also pretty good. So.
Oh, yeah. Which one
was that? Yeah.
Oh, that was great. When Arya's with Gendry and she shows him a drawing, I couldn't figure out what she wanted him to make. Do you have any idea what she was showing him? I know it's a weapon of some sort, but I couldn't figure it out.
I didn't get a real good look at it either. It looked like a shooting something, you know, something that detaches. So I'm not sure what it is. I think it might be something for the dragon, like a, you know, kind of like they have, like they had when they shot Drogon last season.
Okay,
so
yeah,
I think it's, you know, a scorpion, something like that. So.
Okay. Like you said, we saw Jaime come at the very end. That's like the last thing you see is Jaime staring at Bran. Let's just kind of have some fun here. I know you've probably done this on other shows, but I've done it with Modica and a lot of other guys. Like, there's a lot of us Game of Thrones freaks out there. And I just don't remember all the names and stuff. I'm better than the Welsh. No one's as bad as him. But like you and a lot of these guys know way more than me and can correct me on certain things. But let's have some fun with this. Arya, we know she's going to use the many faces throughout the next five episodes, most likely. How do you think who do you think's faces she uses to do some of the most important killing she does, if that makes sense?
Oh, okay.
I've heard different philosophies. I want to hear yours.
That is a good question. I'm not 100% sure about the faces. Because, I mean, we've seen in the commercial, like, I don't know that she necessarily needs the faces.
Well, she doesn't need to anymore. But I've heard stuff like this, like, whole idea is she either has Littlefinger's or Jaime's face and kills Cersei.
I like that, but I think
things like that.
I think the poetic end is Jaime has to kill Cersei. So,
or Tyrion, one of the two.
Right? Yeah, she might kill Tyrion. So, yeah. I could see something like that happen because she is fairly cold. So, but I don't like that's not something I've really thought of. So I don't know that I have a really good answer.
I'm just thinking they did so much to build that character up. It'd be a shame not to use it now. Because whenever she's used it before, was amazing. Like when she killed the Freys, that was one of the best scenes ever. Like it was amazing.
It was, and I kind of think that was a lot of the point of that stuff. I think, you know, in the book, there's probably going to be an tons of expansion on that, you know, and that, to be honest, that might be the reason it's taking so long is there's going to be more and more of that. But I think now that she's at the wall and it's kind of the great war between the living and the dead, I don't know that she needs that much. If they wrap that up quick and then there is the war between the Golden Company and, you know, what's left of the army, in the north, then I could see her doing way more stuff then. But I kind of feel like the majority of this is going to end up being the living versus the dead. So,
yeah, and episode 3 is the living versus the dead war, essentially. So that gives us 3 episodes afterwards. Do you like what? This is a broad question because there's so many major characters, but who do you think is going to be some of the bigger surprise kills this season?
Oh, man. See, we did this. I think most people die. Yeah. I think because, I mean, George R. R. Martin kind of gets off on killing characters and, you know, you're ending the whole thing here. So I think that a lot of people die. I think Danny's going to die. I think John's going to die. I think he's going to leave some of the scholars. You know, I think Varys is going to stay alive. I think Sam is going to stay alive because Sam is basically George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, he basically is.
So I think that like the really smart people are going to be left alive mainly because they're not the people fighting in the war. So I think those guys are going to be left alive, but I think most of the warriors and the fighters are probably going to croak. So I would say the majority of people in the show are going to die this year.
When the North fights the dead, do you think we see a dead Ned Stark and other people come back?
Well, no, because dead Stark, like beheaded people, I don't think are coming back. So like, I kind of was thinking about this a little bit earlier about maybe some of the, you know, maybe we see some of those, the guys that were in Winterfell with Theon because we never saw what happened to them after they left. We just know that Roose killed them. So I maybe fed them to the dogs. I don't know. But they could be in there. I don't think there's many characters outside of the wildlings and people like that that we're going to see. There's going to be somebody. Yeah,
that's what I'm wondering. And who's it going to be?
And there might be like a cameo, you know, like we saw Noah Syndergaard in there for he was a Lannister army guy that got burned up by the dragon. Like we're going to see someone famous. I don't know if it's true, but I read that Dennis and Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia were the
amazing.
They were in the boat with Grey Worm when they were going to attack Casterly Rock, but they had the mask on. That was Dennis and Charlie because, you know, the producer of Game of Thrones also produced Always Sunny for so long. So,
oh, wow. Interesting. Do you think Tormund or Jaime gets along with Brianna?
Ooh, I think maybe Jaime does. I don't think Tormund has a really good shot as he is, you know. I mean, she knows that he likes her, but she does, the feeling is not mutual.
I want to make big babies with her, big monstrous babies. does the Hound kill the Mountain?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one has to happen, right? Has to. That's too good. Like I said, I could ask you a million questions, but I won't keep you all day. So let's just wrap it up with this. Who sits on the throne when it's all said and done?
I don't think anyone sits on the throne. I think the throne is done. I think it's some type of a council. You know, I don't think it's democracy. I don't think they go to voting, you know, or anything like that. But I think it's some type of council moving forward. So I think that, you know, the small council works better anyway. I think they're going to kind of realize that, you know, we just fought the dead to keep the living. Why would we put one person in charge of all of the living? That's stupid. So let's go ahead and have some type of a council. And I think that's probably what will happen.
I dig it. All righty, Scott. This has been fun. I think we're going to have to talk Thrones again before it's all said and done, but I will, we'll see how it goes. I know you're a busy, busy man, but thanks for joining me. Why don't you again, before we wrap it up, I'll go to the bathroom. Why don't you let everybody know where, what you got going on and where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at In This League Pod, at Is It The Welsh, for all of our stuff over at In This League, where we, like I said, have baseball. The Welsh does a minor league baseball podcast. So if that's why you're here, we got that stuff covered as well. We do football. I do an NFL draft podcast right now over there. We do basketball on FNTSY for a 3-hour radio show on Saturday. We do NBA takeaways, which you can find, you know, as a regular podcast anywhere. Our radio show is also podcastable, so it doesn't have to be live. And then we're on Fantrax, where we're doing, you know, the Black Book show with Pizapia. I do IDP show and college fantasy football. And I just had the ITL college fantasy football show come back too. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, please give it a listen. We'd really appreciate it.
And if you're at a local Scottsdale or Phoenix area, Carl's Jr., you might run into Scott Bogman. So
that's very, yeah, especially after a loss.
And remember, yeah, you guys can Venmo him money for his meals. So it's okay. Go for it.
That's right. At Bogman. So I'm a whore. I have no problem giving that out. So,
and that's why I like you so much. all right, everybody. Bog, thanks for joining me, man. Always a good, good time, and we'll do it again sometime.
Thanks for having
everybody,
me,
everybody. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 162 with Scott Bogman, talking some fantasy baseball, some Carl's Jr., and more importantly, some Game of Thrones. Catch you guys later.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.